You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It begins with an ordinary visit, a simple trip to spend time with family. But what unfolds is far from ordinary. A quiet suburban home in Illinois becomes the backdrop for an unsettling tale that starts with a Ouija board and ends with questions that may never have answers. The events described are chilling, not because of what they prove, but because of what they suggest. Something unseen, something waiting. Robbie thought he was prepared. Candles were lit, prayers were said, and the Bible rested open in their circle. But preparation means little when you're stepping into the unknown. At first, the board seemed harmless, a novelty for a curious mind. But as the planchette began to move and cryptic messages emerged, it became clear that something, or someone, was answering. What happened in that house? Were the warnings merely coincidences, or did they uncover a sliver of a reality we aren't meant to see? Robbie's story isn't just about what happened. It's about the lingering fear that follows when the veil between our world and another seems to lift, if only for a moment. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I never thought I'd be the kind of person to write in with a story like this. I've always been skeptical of anything paranormal, chalked it up to people's imaginations, running wild, or coincidence. But after what happened during my visit to my sister's house in Illinois, I can't keep telling myself it was all in my head. Something happened, and I need to share it. It started on a long, exhausting day. My sister Chelsea and I had spent the entire day babysitting her younger half-siblings. By the time we finally got them to bed, it was late. We were drained but restless. That's when Chelsea brought up the idea of using her Ouija board. At first, I laughed it off. I'd heard all the stories about them and thought it was just a creepy game people use to freak themselves out. But something about the way she suggested it, half serious, half daring, made me hesitate. I figured, why not? If nothing happened, it would just be a funny story to tell later. Before we started, I insisted on doing things my way. I wasn't taking any chances, you know. I grabbed 6 candles, mostly white with a couple of light blue ones, and set them in a circle around us. Then I pulled out 2 Bibles from her bookshelf, opened one to Psalm 23 and another to a passage from Matthew. I made sure to say a prayer over everything. The room, the board, even Chelsea and myself. Looking back, I'm not sure if that made me feel safer or just more nervous. We sat on the floor in her room, the only light coming from the flickering candles. Just as we were about to start, there was this loud, sudden pounding on the door. My heart jumped. It turned out to be her little brother demanding to come in and see what we were doing. We yelled at him to go back to bed, but his interruption had already broken the mood. Chelsea looked at me half laughing and said, "You still want to do this?" I nodded. Maybe I should have said no. The planchette moved almost immediately. At first, it was subtle, just a slight shift, like it was centering itself. We asked a few simple questions, stuff only Chelsea would know. "What was my first dog's name?" she asked. The planchette slid to spell out G-U-F-U-S. She froze. "That's really close," she said quietly. "His name was Tufus." I could tell she was starting to feel uneasy, but I pressed on. "Do you know Chelsea's mom's phone number?" I asked. The planchette jerked sharply to yes, then began spelling out numbers. We wrote them down, and later we compared them to the real number. They weren't exact, but they were close, too close for comfort. That's when Chelsea pulled her hands away and accused me of moving it. I swore I wasn't. Honestly, I was just as freaked out as she was. She didn't believe me and insisted we stop, so we did. After that first session, things started getting weird. The microwave in the kitchen, which had been working fine earlier, suddenly stopped. Chelsea's mom tried to heat something up but couldn't get it to turn on. It worked perfectly the next morning, like nothing had ever happened. We brushed it off as a coincidence, but in the back of my mind, I started wondering. The next night, I convinced Chelsea to give it another shot. She agreed, though she was still skeptical. We followed the same steps as before, the candles, the prayers, the Bibles. This time, the planchette moved faster, like it was eager to communicate. The answers were more cryptic, though. I asked, "Do you have any advice for me?" And it spelled out something like, "Hi, WKL987. None of it made sense. So then we asked for its name. At first, it spelled out Yixley Zaffer, which made no sense at all. When we asked again, it spelled out another name, Gabriel Oki Curigs. I don't know why, but the second name sent a chill down my spine. There was something about it, something that felt wrong. We ended the session not long after that, but when we went downstairs to tell Chelsea's mom what had happened, the lights in the kitchen wouldn't turn on. The power seemed to be out in just that room. But when we looked out the window, we saw something strange. The houses on one side of the street had all their lights on, but everything on the other side was dark, a perfect dividing line. It was like something had cut the power only to half the block. That's when I started to think maybe we were messing with something we didn't understand. But it wasn't over yet. The next day felt strange, even though nothing out of the ordinary happened. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. Chelsea acted like everything was normal, but I could tell she was uneasy, too. Every now and then, I'd catch her glancing toward the Ouija board, which we'd left propped against the wall in her room. I suggested we throw it out, but she shook her head. "It's just a piece of cardboard, Robbie. Don't be dramatic." Still, the air in the house felt heavier. The smallest noises made me jump, the creak of the floorboards, the hum of the refrigerator. That night, we decided to give it one last try. Looking back, I know how stupid that sounds, but we were curious, or maybe it was something else, something pulling us back to the board. This time, the planchette felt different under our fingers. It wasn't just moving, it felt like it was tugging. The answers came quickly, almost angrily. I asked, "Who are we speaking to?" It spelled out Gabriel Okikurix again. I asked what it wanted, and the response chilled me to my core. "Watching you!" Chelsea laughed nervously. "Okay, now you're definitely moving it." But I wasn't. My hands were trembling so much, I could barely keep them on the planchette. We asked if there were others with it. The planchette slid to yes before spelling out many. Then it started moving faster, spelling nonsense, letters and numbers jumbled together. At one point it paused and we both held our breath. Then it spelled out, "Leave now." Before I could react, we heard a loud crash from the kitchen. We jumped up and ran downstairs. The kitchen was empty, but one of the chairs had tipped over, and the candles we'd used in our earlier sessions were scattered across the floor. The strange thing? And they weren't where we'd left them. They'd been sitting on Chelsea's desk upstairs, and no one had touched them. Chelsea looked at me, her face pale. "I'm done," she said. "We're getting rid of it." We grabbed the board and the planchette and took them outside. Chelsea wanted to burn it, but something about that felt wrong to me. Instead, we broke the board in half and threw it in the trash. It didn't feel like enough. That night, I woke up to the sound of footsteps. At first, I thought it was Chelsea or one of the kids, but the steps were heavy, deliberate. They echoed in the hallway outside my door, then stopped. I held my breath, listening. Nothing. Just as I started to relax, the door creaked open. I sat up, heart pounding, and stared into the dark. The hallway was empty. The next morning, I asked Chelsea if she'd heard anything. She shook her head, but wouldn't meet my eyes. I could tell she was lying. She'd heard something, too. Over the next few weeks, the house seemed to return to normal as it could after what we'd experienced. But there were still moments when I'd catch something out of the corner of my eye, a shadow that wasn't there when I turned my head, or the faint sound of whispers in an empty room. Chelsea said she felt it too, though she tried to brush it off. The final straw came a few days before I left. I was sitting in the living room late at night, scrolling through my phone, when I heard a voice. It was soft, barely above a whisper, but I could make out the words, "Robbie, come back." I froze. The voice was coming from the stairs, but when I turned to look, no one was there. I left the next day. Chelsea and I haven't talked about it much since then. She still lives in that house, but she says things have been quiet. I hope that's true, for her sake. As for me, I can't shake the feeling that whatever we contacted that night isn't gone. It's just waiting. I don't know if I'll ever use a Ouija board again. Part of me wants to believe it was all just a coincidence, a series of strange events that had nothing to do with the board. But deep down, I know better. Some doors shouldn't be opened, and once they are, it's not always easy to close them again. Sincerely, Robbie Harkins. It's stories like these that remind us of the fragile line between curiosity and danger. Robbie's experience with the Ouija board started as a harmless experiment, a game meant to pass the time. But what it's unleashed, what it might have called forth, is far from harmless. The strange occurrences, the cryptic warnings, and the unshakable feeling of being watched all paint a chilling picture. Now, there's a psychological lens through which we could view this. The power of suggestion and group dynamics often lead people to perceive movement on a Ouija board that isn't really there. And heightened emotions can amplify normal occurrences, making them feel paranormal. The sounds, the flickering lights, even the voice Robbie heard. Could it all have been an overactive imagination, fueled by fear and expectation? Or was it something more? The details that stand out, the power outage confined to specific areas, the candles inexplicably moving downstairs, and the cryptic messages are harder to explain away. Could Robbie and Chelsea have made contact with something they weren't prepared to face? The two names spelled out by the board, Yixley Zaffer and Gabriel Okikurix, are strange, almost otherworldly. If these were entities, why did they appear, and what did they want? The chilling phrase, "watching you," lingers long after the story ends. And then there's the final whispered message, "Robbie, come back." Was it a plea, a warning, or a threat? It's a question we may never have an answer to. Perhaps the most unsettling aspect of this story isn't the events themselves, but what they leave behind. The lingering shadows, the whispers, and the feeling that once a door is opened, it doesn't always close completely. For those listening, take Robbie's story as a cautionary tale. There are things we're not meant to understand, and sometimes the best choice is to leave them alone. After all, some mysteries are better left unsolved.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.